On Midwest Week, more than 40 years after a woman was murdered, police identify her likely killer. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Lisa Hammer, correspondent for The Dispatch in Rock Island Argus. To start with, Lisa, remind us, who was Marianne Becker?
Well, in 1974, she was 16, and from her picture, she had a bright smile. And according to her high school yearbook, she was active on the stage crew for a theatrical production and also a member of student council and pep club. She helped her mother wait tables at Atkinson Plaza, which is a busy restaurant on I-80. Her father worked at the Victoria coal mines, and she had three sisters, but they were not living at the home by that time. Atkinson Mayor Ken Tabor remembers her as being intellectual and having a lot of friends.
Okay, and what do we know about what happened and where to her in September 1974?
About 11 o'clock, September 9th, 1974, her mother came home from work to find her daughter tied to the living room piano and strangled. Her father had been injured at work at the coal mines, and it was his first day back after several weeks, which could be an important factor later on in the investigation.
And was anyone ever arrested at the time, or did it just go unsolved for, well, however many decades it's been?
It was the District 7 of the East Moline State Police, their oldest cold case, so it was unsolved. It terrified the town and probably areas outside Atkinson. And 2 months after the murder, the Dispatch ran a story talking about the fear that was in Atkinson, how people were locking doors for the first time and teaming up to babysit and timing their after-school activities so that children wouldn't walk home alone. And people didn't know if it was someone local who might still be around or someone off the interstate.
And so no one was ever arrested then. So why was the case reopened when, I think, what, 2013, 2014, something like that?
Perhaps they just had a commitment to solving a cold case. They had a state police analyst and an investigator team up to begin to look at both the physical evidence and the talking to people. And regarding the physical evidence, Lieutenant Chris Endres of the state police said they resubmitted past evidence first in the hopes they would learn something new, and they only resorted to exhuming the body and having a new autopsy when it seemed like the only way to find out more. And the Henry County State's Attorney's Office provided several thousand dollars to send the physical evidence to a private lab in Virginia that had the latest forensic science techniques. And because one of the things that wouldn't have happened 40 years ago, they wouldn't have taken samples from fingernails. And what they actually found from the physical testing was a previously unknown wrist fracture that would go along with a violent struggle, but they did not find any complete DNA profile from that. So really the most valuable part of the investigation was the interviews with people. And actually the passage of time was a friend to the investigation, although I'm sure they came to dead ends too on it. But several people only agreed to talk to the state police when they found out Robert Clark was dead, as the Henry County State's Attorney's brief report pointed out. And Lieutenant Chris Endres said some of these people they interviewed wanted to see the actual death certificate before they would talk about Robert Clark. Robert Clark was found dead in March of 2015 in a Bloomington, Indiana apartment, and he was 64.
So what do we know what pointed to Mr. Clark, why they named him as the likely killer all these many years later?
Well, more people were willing to talk about him, and they, for one thing, they blew his alibi, which had been that he'd worked in the coal mines that night and hauled a record amount of coal. But he had, somewhere along the line, he admitted to his brother that he hadn't been working that night. And I don't know whether the state police investigators got that information directly from the brother that he wasn't working that night or from other people that the brother might have talked to.
And were people afraid of Mr. Clark? Is that why they wouldn't talk up until they were really certain that he was dead?
Yes, I guess there is people that said that he had shown violent behavior and mental illness his whole adult life. And acting Sheriff Kiri Lanka said he had threatened so many people that they were afraid of him. And the state's attorney's report said that Clark's second wife had reportedly said that Clark told her he'd killed before and he'd do so again, and he threatened to put her body in the coal mine.
Now, do we know if Mr. Clark continued to live in Atkinson after the murder and until his death, or he moved away soon afterwards or anything like that, Lisa?
Well, he lived at least in Henry County generally for 5 years or so, and he was charged with the sexual assault of a 15-year-old girl in Galva. But in 1980, he moved away after a higher court reversed the charges, and instead of getting a 6-year sentence, all he served was a couple days at the Henry County Jail.
And as I recall from your story, Mr. Clark was a neighbor of the Becker family?
He was, at the time, in 1974, he was 24 years old and living in an apartment within view of the Becker's home.
Okay.
And working at the coal mine along with her father.
And what about the Becker and Clark families? Are many of their members still in the Atkinson or Henry County area, or have they moved away as well?
I really can't tell you that. They say that the Becker family is private, so not the state police, it seems, are protecting their privacy.
And what about the state police now? Are they satisfied with all this? Do they feel like the case is solved, or is there anything more they can do?
Well, what happened was with the investigation was it was turned over to the state's attorney, Matt Shetty, and he sifted through thousands of pages and concluded there was enough circumstantial evidence to take the case to a grand jury if Clark had been alive. And as it is, he is presumed innocent, although they did get permission from his brother in Ohio to release his name in connection with the murder. And the state police are considering the case open and hoping to hear from more people, although the Becker family is confident enough in the investigation that they're withdrawing their $15,000 reward. But Sheriff Lanka also notes that the Becker family is glad to clear other suspects in the case who had been living under a shadow.
Okay, so for 40 years later, did your readers remember all of this? Were they engaged in your story? Did you hear much from them, Lisa?
Well, I heard from the photographer who now lives out in the Southwest who took her senior picture, and I'm sure he recalls that television stations were asking for it at the time. I'm sure he is sympathetic to the cause.
How about anyone in the Atkinson area or Henry County? Did they contact you about this, or have they said that they were following the story and remember it all?
Well, not really. People are hurting, I'm sure, about it, and I'm sure they do have their memories. I actually moved to Henry County and lived at the old Atkinson Plaza 5 years after the murder, and I lived at the motel there for 2 weeks until I found an apartment. But I don't remember hearing about the Becker tragedy until later on, so I don't think people really want to talk about it.